Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Banco BPM First Half 2021 Group Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, IR Manager of Banco BPM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you everybody to be with us today for the presentation of the first half result of the Banco BPM Group. As usual, let me remind that you can find the presentation on our website in the Investor Relations page, and after the presentation of Mr. Castagna, there will be a session of Q&A reserved to financial analysts. Now I leave the field to Mr. Castagna.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being with us. I will be as quick as possible. I know that it's 5 of August. Everybody is ready to leave. Very good results for our first 6 months, especially in this quarter. Operating performance, which allow us to reach a very strong but also consistent 361 million of net profit stated, which will be 382 adjusted. Let me remark that this is higher than the market consensus for full year 2021. Asset quality is still improving. You already knew that we were concluding in Q2 the Rockets transaction, which allow us to sell another 1.5 billion of NPE, bad loans specifically, which led our gross NPE to 6.2% and 5.2% with the EBA definition. Let me remind that when we started the merger, we were as high as 24.1% of NPE ratio. Very sound also the capital position with a good 12.9 Common Equity Tier 1 fully phased and MDA buffer over 400 basis points. Also in this case, I want to stress that we were 13.3 in December and we are 12.9, but after having absorbed 95 basis points as regulatory headwinds. These results give us good confidence in the future, also linked to the fact that, as you know, we have resolved in Q2 the two agreement in bank assurance, which will come back in the next couple of years fully in our hands with 100% of the joint venture being part of our group. This will allow us to exploit with more flexibility and with the full potential the strength of the bank assurance for the next business plan. On page 6, a set of different targets which show how consistent is our growth in revenues, in core revenues, in total revenues, in pre-provision income, and especially in a very consistent net profit from continuing operation, which I remember is only before systemic charges, and basically in the last 4 quarters adjusted is almost at a level of more than 200 million apart from Q4 2020. On page 7 also the growth in volumes, both in customer loans, which are plus 0.6 in the quarter and 9.6 if we consider basically beginning of 2020, which we included in order to give you the roadmap since, I would say, the starting of the COVID situation. Of course, there is an enormous growth also in deposit, 18.7% since beginning of 2020, which is still growing also in the last quarter, 2.4%. As we will see in details, this is a growth driven especially by corporates because luckily enough for private individuals, we have been able to transform almost all the increase in deposit into asset under management. As you see, asset under management grew 8% and 2.6% still growing in last Q. More important, the net inflow year to date, which is 1.7 billion compared with minus 400 million in Q4 2019. Gross NP ratio down to 6.2, already we said that. Common equity tier 1, 12.9 after 95 basis points of headwinds. And the same MDA buffer to 402 basis points. On page 8, this was possible during a period with the COVID impact very strong, thanks to the intensive bettering of our digital banking experience, which has been expanded almost to all our products and allow us now to have more than 85% of the transaction remote, more than doubling, 145% more of based app-based transaction, which were 4 million in the first half 19 and are now more than 10 million in the first half 2020. Also the app, which the newly successful rollout of the new group app, mobile app, grew to 24% the total app-based transaction versus 9% in 2019. There is also a big increase in customer using both digital and app. The digital customer grew from 42% to 53%. Active mobile user on digital active users grew to 67% from 42%, and we have reached 1.5 million of customer utilizing our app. This, of course, is thanks to the digital transformation program that we started at the beginning of our merger, that now allow us to have a new app rated at the best level in the market, a digital SME platform which allow us to increase our customers positive customer score, an omnichannel advisory which allow us to increase of 15% the total new sale revenues, the digital branch absorbing more than 50% of the total assistance request, and of course deploying an advanced customer analytics which allow to address more than 30% of total sales thanks to advanced analytics program. Also the digital identity, which will allow the bank to be completely paperless, started with the rollout during this quarter and will reach half of the app customer by this year, and then in 2022 hopefully completing the paperless model. Also in ESG on page 9 we have developed our engagement. We, as you know, we have issued our first 500 million social bond, senior preferred, under a 25 billion MTN program. The social bond will be utilized to finance or refinance Italian SME loans guaranteed by the state in response to COVID-19. The bond has been bought by banks for 43%, funds 40%, and other institutions for the remaining 17%. We have also improved during this quarter our ratings, both standard ethics, which were upgraded us from EE minus to EE. We have top ranked in ISS ESG governance quality score, where we are considered the best with level 1. and also the sustainability ratings of Sustainalytics ranks us amongst the top three banks in Italy. On page 10, we want to show how our results we are going to present today are fully in line with the business plan we presented last year before the outbreak of COVID, and allow us to be very confident in potentially present the new business plan by the presentation of Q3 results. We have shown some macro target which was presented in our 2020-23 business plan, which of course will be updated, but as you see, the current status of first half result show how also in terms of revenues, which were maybe not fully credible when we presented the plan, are instead fully in line with the results we had for 2023. As you can see, total revenues in the first half is 2.3 billion, and in the full year 23 there was a forecast 4.4 billion. Costs are already down, operating costs envisaged in 2023. Cost income is 55% versus 59%. Cost of risk, core cost of risk is in line, even though we were very prudent in, foster financing, new de-risking, and be very prudent in the stage 2 increase, which brought our full cost of risk to 86 basis points. Also in terms of return on equity and net income, the annualized first 6 months results bring us mostly to the level of the 2023 business plan. This is without considering fast further revenue booster, like, as I mentioned before, the bank assurance growth engine, an opportunity that which we will deploy completely in the new business plan. Likewise, the additional opportunities from Next Generation EU plan and funds. Also in terms of cost, we still haven't yet utilized the savings coming from the retirement scheme which financed in 2020, and will start in the third and fourth quarter 2021, because the first 990 exit happened end of June 21. Essentially, the impact will be partial in 2021, almost full in 2022, and the remaining 20-30 million in 2023. And is not yet incorporated in the first half results. First, NPE ratio is already at the level of our 23 target, which was 5.9 under the EBA definition, and is now 5.2. Let's go to some figure on page, on page 20, there is the stated results. Let me only stress that this amount to 361 net profit for the first half, 261 million for the second quarter, after 79 million of extraordinary revenues coming from fiscal realignment on real estate, which we almost completely fully utilized to increase depreciation on real estate, on other real estate, and increase loan loss provision. On page 13, there is adjusted highlights. Let me underline quarter on quarter 5.1% higher on net interest income, 1.5% of net fee and commission. You can remember that there was a Q1 record result for us in commission. We have been able to beat Q1 and, of course, being 16% higher than first half 2020. Also, NFR was able to repeat very good results. 100 million Q1, 117 Q2, in this case thanks to trading activity but also to the revaluation of Nexi and SIA stakeholdings in our balance sheet. Also, the result of other revenues is very good, coming from the strong results and strong profitability of our product factory. All in all, total revenues is almost 1.2 billion in Q2 and 2.3 billion half year. Operating costs are almost at the same level of Q1, Q2, and also vis-à-vis 2020, which lead to pre-provision income of 450 million for Q2, confronted with 486 of Q1. Loan loss provision still very consistent, 235 million adjusted, and in the half year, 379 million, which again state amount increased to 473 million. Net profit from continuing operation is 246 million, as I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, almost 8% more of 227 million of Q1, and H1 is at 473 million, confronted with 176 million of first half 2020. After the systemic charge, we have 230 million of net profit versus 150 million of Q1 and 382 million for the semester vis-à-vis 128 million of last year. Let's go to some details about the different items, starting from NII on page 14. The trend is consistent, 6.9, driven by the TLTRO increase drawing by 10 million at the end of March 2021, where 24 million coming from the last 10 billion, but also the commercial banking activity and the non-commercial banking activity, which include the negative impact from reinvestment of TLTRO extra liquidity, is still positive. The commercial spreads are doing well. The asset spread is still at the same level, basically, of Q2 2020, was 178 basis points, then 180, now again 178, but the customer spread is at 116 due to the reduction of liability spread, which of course is driven by the Euribor that was 25 basis points lower than Q2 2020. The new lending is still very consistent. We were at 6.3 billion in Q2, 5.2 from enterprises and corporates, and 1.1 in terms of household. If we compare H1 21 to H1 20, the results is even 12.1 billion, but we are an increased percentage of share of COVID-19 measure, which is as high as 39% of the total loan granted versus 15% in 2020. Of course, in the second half of the year, we think that this percentage will be opposite to the one we are presenting. Also in July, the lending was very sound. We have closed July with 2.4 additional new lending, of which 600 million from state guarantee transaction. The total of state guarantee transaction as of 30 of June was 15 billion, 1.6 billion 100% guaranteed, 13.3 billion from 70 to 90, driving the average level of guarantees to 86% on the 15 billion drawing. We still have 2 billion in pipeline as of June. Of course, 600 million were utilized in July, so we have still 1.4 billion to be utilized during this quarter. In terms of spread, the outflows is still lower than the inflows, so possibly we will not lose further asset spread because this should continue also in the Q3, apart from early repayment, which we of course are not able to envisage right now. Let me stress the robust performance of new lending to household, which was plus 62% year on year. Also in terms of targets of TLTRO, after reaching with an excess of 7 billion the first observation B period, which ended in Q1, we are, for the period ending end of 2021, we have almost 3 billion in excess. On page 16, we can see some interesting view of the moratoria COVID measures. We are remaining with 4.8 billion of outstanding moratoria right now. As you remember, we started with more than 16 billion, so we are down 70%. The moratoria expired pre-June 2021 was 6 billion, and the default rate was 1.25%. Of the remaining moratoria, 10.2 billion, 5.4 billion were not postponed by client. So as you know, by June we had the answer or the request from our client to postpone or not the current moratoria. The majority decided not to postpone, and so we have been left with 4.8 billion of requested moratoria ending by the end of this year. Out of the 5.4 billion, we already have been checking the first 3 billion expiring of installment, of course, expiring in July, and 3 billion basically reduced, added to the 6 billion already expired, reduce the default rate of the expired moratoria from 1.25 to 1.10%. Of this 4.8 billion of remaining moratoria, outstanding moratoria, 74% is in the low medium risk asset class, rating class. Only 16% in mid-high risk, 10% in high risk. Let me underline that this is a number which has been reducing from time to time from 3.9 billion, which were the mid-high risk and high risk when we started with 16 billion of moratoria. Then they were reduced in December to 2.4 billion in these two category of mid-high risk and high risk, and now they are reduced to 1.3 billion. This means that also clients that are classified from ourselves in these two categories are repaying normally the installments when they renounce to the moratoria. We have also conducted, we're still conducting a continuous strict control on all these 4.8 billion. We have now reached 79% of client we are postponing the moratoria, and out of these 79%, less than 1% declared to possibly have some problem to restart payment in January 2022. I think a very comforting outlook respect to the dramatic view that we had at the beginning of the pandemic. On page 17, we have the results of net fees and commission due to outperforming the already strong Q1 and, of course, being 140 million more than last year. We basically had the same result of Q1 in terms of commercial banking fees, 231 million, and we beat for 8 million the management and advisory fee, coming mostly from the investment product placement, but also from advisory fee and corporate finance and M&A and advisory. The trend is still increasing. As you see, June was much higher, both of April and May. And in terms of sales, the results was so good, notwithstanding the investment products placement was in Q2 a bit lower than the 5.4 record results of Q1 2021, which reached 4.9 billion, including 300 million of BTP Futura. The average of 1.5 billion per month has been maintained also in July. Very good also operating cost. We are keeping operating costs under strict control. We decided to give you also the number of first half 2019, because as you know, not really the first half to 2020, but when we will go ahead for the full year 2020, this is incomparable with full year 2021. So we prefer to make also comparison with 2019. In 2020, as you know, we had some savings thanks to the cost attention and the opportunity to exploit the COVID measure, which made savings for more than 140 million. Right now, we are 2.1% higher in respect to first half 2020, and the Q2 2021 is even lower than the Q1, thanks to 14 million of COVID-related savings, which we think hopefully will be the last one which we will incorporate for 2021. As I mentioned at the beginning, we still are not considering the savings which will come from our retirement scheme, or better, only 3 million are already considered in the first semester. The remaining 41 million for 2021 will be in the second half, another 120 million in 2022, and we will go to 140 million in 2023. In terms of headcount, we are now down to 20,550 people, considering 990 voluntary exit by June. We still have so further 620 people included in this scheme, which will leave the bank by 2022. Also, the network was right-sized, as you know. Further 300 branches were reduced between May and June of this year, leading for a total of 1,000 branches if we consider the starting point of 2,400 branches in 2017. Just a few words on the strong liquidity and funding position. Of course, this is something that doesn't give problem to the banking system right now. We have LCR over 200%, a very, very sound NSFR, TLTRO fully exploited, very few global amount of bond outstanding. Notwithstanding this year, we have been, in the last 18 months, we have been issuing both AT1, Tier 2, senior preferred and senior non-preferred. Very good results coming from our securities portfolio. We had a total consideration of almost below 40 billion between held to maturity and sales, amortized cost and trading, which had in June 90 million of reserves on HTCS, which now grew to more than 200 million. So notwithstanding what we have realized in the first 2Q, which led to the very sound NFR results, we still have more than 200 million of potential reserves under these govies, and also some 70 million under securities at amortized cost. I won't go through page 20, just give you the glance of the Italian govies vis-à-vis the non-Italian govies and the relative duration, which basically didn't change a lot since last quarter. Just a few words about page 21, where you will find the NPE evolution. We are down to 7.1 billion. Frankly speaking, nowadays we are below 7 billion, and net NPEs 3.7 billion. We just wanted to remember that we started from more than 30 billion of gross NPE and more than 16 billion of net NPE. The share of bad loans is, again, after the Rocket transaction, down to 30% of the total NPEs, so bad loans are accounting for 30%, UTP for 70%. This, of course, has an impact on the coverage, where we go down from 62% to 55.4% in bad loans and 50.7% to 47.4% in total NPE. Of course, if we consider the Rockets, including in the first quarter, the amount of the second quarter, see an increase both in terms of bad loans from 54.9 to 55.4, and also in terms of total NPE from 45.9 to 47.4. Almost at the same level, we have also the UTP, which are 44.6, up from 43.1%. Also in terms of bad loans, thanks to Rockets, we increased, which of course had a lot of unsecured bad loans sold. We have now increased our secured bad loans from 62% to 69%. As you can see, the default rate is very comfortable to 1.1%. It would be a bit lower than 1% excluding DoD. 8.8% of danger rate. Cure rate, of course, is been reduced during this COVID period due to the strict timing and increasing time that we now have to respect to bring back to performing our UTP. In any case, the workout rate that you will find out on page 43 is still very sound. It is around 14% last year and this year, and allows us to compensate the inflow of new non-performing loans. On page 22, we have on the top part of the slide the quarter reduction of gross NPE and net NPE. In the lower part, you will see our very, very prudent approach that we are still having to our cost of risk evolution. We have an increase on Q2 vis-à-vis Q1, which brings the amount of the first half in line with the first half 2020. If we talk about ordinary cost of risk, we will be down to 52 basis points after having included some round provision on single names, and the non-core impact, which will still driven by the Project Rockets impact and the tightening of Stage 2 criteria, to which we added also our leverage fines portfolio in this quarter, has been accounting for 34 basis points. Last page of numbers, we have a very sound capital position. We ended March in 12.7% fully loaded, 13.7% phased in. We are now up to 12.9% fully loaded and 14.1% phased in. The increase is due to 37% of Q2 performance, 17% already accounted for the payment of 81 coupon and dividend stake, 10% out of regulatory headwinds coming this time from look-through approach on alternative funds, and opposite 10 basis point plus coming from reduction RWA. The total amount is 12.9, which brings also our MDA buffer to a very solid 402 basis point. The last part of the slide is dedicated to the EBA stress test, but I think you already know exactly what was going on, and it's very, very good also for us. So, final remarks on page 24, very good year, very good quarter, and very consistent with our forecast and with the business model we have in mind to develop, solid growth in core revenues, with led to a very sound net stated and adjusted net profit, still reduction of NP ratio and further disposal of bad loans, and a robust capital position, leveraging on digital banking and on the changing profitability coming from the outlook of our business model. On page 25, we give you some outlook about full year 2021. Of course, the total revenues will be slightly impacted by the very strong result of Q1 in NFR, so we think we can reach 4.4 billion, total cost 2.5 billion, leading to pre-provision profit of 1.9 billion, cost of risk in order to have the opportunity to give you a forecast on EPS, we consider the same cost of risk of H1, but again, it's a very prudent approach, and this will bring to an EPS of 35 cents and a dividend payout, partly already accounted in Common Equity Tier 1, of 40%, this already having 13% as a target for common equity and MDA buffer, again, in the region of 400, but in any case, higher than 350 basis points. I have completed my presentation. I leave to you the floor for your Q&A session.